In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom and Eleanor McCullen. Today we want to call on the blood of Jesus to come upon the people at Harvard that's going to be having a black mass to destroy the Eucharist. We need to know that the experience of the Eucharist is truly true, that the devil hates Jesus as the sacrament. He hates Jesus personally. And so tonight they're going to desecrate the Lord. But let me tell you, my prayer is that as they desecrate the Lord, that the Lord would let them know that he is in love with them, that the Lord would do just the opposite to these people. Just the opposite. I don't want to hate these people, because you know what? That would be following another spirit. These people are totally misled. These people are totally hurt. They're under much trauma, and what they're doing is absolutely evil. But you know what? Jesus died for them also. Jesus died for them also. Jesus died for them also. Wouldn't it be wonderful if there was a manifestation of his glory rather than a manifestation of hell? I'm telling you, I can learn from this black mass that the devil hates the Eucharist, that the devil hates the Eucharist, not in any church, but in the Orthodox Church and in the Catholic Church, because that's where they desecrate. That's where they desecrate. The devil knows where Jesus is. And you know what? He's going to try to desecrate the Lord. But I'm telling you, God forbid. I pray, Jesus, that it turn around. I pray, Jesus, that you would touch the people. I pray, Jesus, that you would come into that group and that you would let them know that you died for them. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, we praise you, we bless you, we worship you as Eucharist. We praise you, we bless you, we worship you. This evil thing that's going to take place tonight is absolutely evil. It's satanic. It is satanic. But you know what? We need to learn how to worship Jesus instead of centering upon the satanic. We have to talk about it because it's going to take place, but my Lord, we need to spend time worshiping Jesus as Eucharist, because he, the enemy, hates that. Tell us what you did yesterday, Eleanor, when you were in Chestnut Hill.
Well, I certainly will. Yesterday was Mother's Day, and we at St. Ignatius Church distribute silk roses in honor of Mother's Day. And also, we ask for a donation. If someone doesn't have any money, that's perfectly fine, because we distribute the beautiful either yellow, red, white rose. And we have a scripture verse on the rose tied with a little pink bow. And we have one that's Deuteronomy, choose life over death. And of course, Jeremiah, I have knit you in your mother's womb. I have created you to be a prophet to the nations. So it's evangelization in a small way. So we distribute them at St. Ignatius. And we were there at all the masses. We had a nice group of volunteers. We had each door covered. We raised quite a bit of money. And the money will go to Massachusetts Citizens for Life. And what do they do with that money? Well, legislation. Some of the money goes into legislation. The latest thing now that we're working on is against assisted suicide. And, of course, education. People go out to the high schools and colleges to talk to the young people about purity and chastity. And then, of course, we also support a crisis pregnancy center, a Woman's Concern, which is located in Revere and Cape Cod and Beverly. So we did that yesterday, Father. We had very good response. Generally, I'd say 99% people were, God bless you, very, very generous with their donations. We gave a lot of free roses away. So all in all, the weather cooperated, and all in all, it was heartwarming. Many people just said, thank you for being there. There were always one or two that just walked by. But as you just said, Father, people don't understand. And the people that are doing the Black Mass, they're in darkness. And so we still have people that are in darkness. But that's our job. Once we see the light, the Lord has given us mercy and grace to see the light, to see Jesus, to know him. Then it is our responsibility to be witnesses. And that's what we did yesterday. Whether people like it or not, most people did. We're the witnesses for the truth. And that's our job. We just have to keep going and just being there and just helping people and just loving them. And maybe not even talking all the time, just in our way we speak or smile, I think is our witness also. Because when you have Jesus, you can't help but just give it out, even though one of those prophets said, I'm not doing any more, but it was bursting from him. And Jesus bursts from us in our actions, in our words, in our face, in our smile, whatever it is, Jesus bursts through us. We cannot help it.
It is very important that we know that we are witnesses. You shall become my witnesses when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And we need to witness to Jesus in this dark world. The world is dark. The place where we exist today is very dark. But there's only one light that will destroy this darkness, and it's the light of Jesus Christ. The light of Jesus Christ. Pope Francis has asked that people go out into the towns and proclaim the resurrection. The neo-catechumenate are doing that, isn't that wonderful? That everyone has a different gift. I was thinking last night that I'm not doing that. And then the Lord said, you know, your gift is different. You're on the radio and you are in a parish and you are witnessing to Jesus. You cannot deny that. I said, well, I don't go to the center of Chelsea and pray. He said, you know what? You're all around the country telling people about Jesus. You're all around the country proclaiming the resurrection, the death and resurrection of the Lord. People are coming to your parish with all their needs, and things are happening. So I said, okay, Lord, I want to do more. I want to do more. I do want to do more. I do want to do more. Tell us some of the things that has happened with the stories at the abortion clinics.
Yes, I certainly will. But before I do, Father, can I speak a little bit about the Black Mass?
You may.
All right. And I will come back to my little stories, grace of God stories, glory to the Father stories. But you're right, Father, the people that are carrying on with this Black Mass tonight at Harvard, they are in deep darkness. So what I'd like to mention is, you know, the gospel this week, Father, Jesus said, my own hear my voice and they follow me. And we hear his voice, but the question I always have for myself, I hear the voice of the Lord, but then that's one good thing. And you might say, well, that's good. You hear the voice of the Lord. But the more important comment or question is, once I hear the voice of the Lord, what do I do with it? What do I do? Do I obey? I guess that's the question I ask myself. Do I obey? And or do I dismiss his voice and say, I hear your voice, but whatever I'm hearing you want me to do, I think I'll do it tomorrow, or maybe I'm not going to do it at all. And so that's the secret. So Lord, we want to hear your voice, but then you have to give us that courage and that grace to do something with what we hear and to follow through. And I guess the word would be obey. So what makes me think of it, like especially yesterday being Good Shepherd Day, but now, we all heard about this Black Mass, and hundreds and thousands were all saddened by it. We're like, oh, my, we can't believe this. We felt heartbroken. Our God is heartbroken. And we as lay Catholics and Christians, we were heartbroken. Now, we could just be talking in our living rooms and saying we're all heartbroken, but we heard the voice of the Lord speak to us, and he said, be heartbroken, but don't sit still. Because in your silence, you're almost condoning it. So what does that mean? Well, we all got together. There's groups throughout the city of Boston that are going to meet tonight, have holy hours, processions, rosaries. Things are going to happen. So we don't like this, but we're not going to just be quiet and say, well, I guess they're going to do what they're going to do. We heard the voice of the Lord. We're going to obey. We're going to gather. Now, there are many places that are gathering tonight. And before we hang up, Father, I should get the full list and maybe I'll leave my telephone number and they can call me. But for instance, over at St. Paul's in Cambridge, from 8 to 9, there's a holy hour. And in Harvard, at Harvard on the campus, there's going to be a service at 7 o'clock. And I believe it's in Mechanic Hall. But that's where I'm a little doubtful about that name. So I'll leave my telephone number. So you people should go. And there's a procession. And I'll find out all of that a little bit later. Also, Father Mullen in Bellingham is having something. There's about 10 or 12 things going on. So by the grace of God, we now, the Jesus said, I am the gate. I am the good shepherd. But he just didn't say that and say, oh, isn't that nice? He says, he's saying to you and me, you are the shepherds and you follow my example. You bring people to Jesus. So that's what I think we're going to do tonight. We're going to rally around and they're going to do what they're going to do. We're going to pray for them because they are in darkness. But at the same time, we're just not going to be heartbroken. We're going to gather and pray and have a procession and also holy hours is going to be wonderful. So maybe now I'll give the telephone number 617-734-1502. If you're interested and you need to know a few more places, you call me and I'll have the full list in front of me. But things are happening. And if you can't come out tonight, then you pray at home. Just maybe pray a rosary. Just a little prayer. The Lord hears the prayers. Thousands and thousands of prayers are going up to the throne of God. And he says, thank you, people. And we will delight him. He's a heartbroken God for many reasons. But we will delight him by our coming forth tonight. And put we will trump out the black mass that Harvard is having tonight. We will trump it out by the glory of God, by the grace of God. And Jesus is our victory. So now, things always are happening over at Planned Parenthood. And Wednesdays are very busy. I still always like people to come out and pray silently with us. I guess a couple of weeks ago, there was a young woman who came. And she had a challenge, there's no doubt. She has a five-month-old, and she has, I believe, a two-year-old. And she just said she couldn't handle another baby. So I said, I understand the challenge. There's no doubt about it, but we're all going to surround you with all kinds of hope. But I decided not to talk about the new baby. I wanted to build on the baby she has, the five-monther. So we asked about the pictures and, you know, how's the baby doing? And so we got her mind off of her crisis, her afraidness. She felt abandoned and alone and scared. So we got her mind off of it and we concentrated on the young little one. And then we said, well, we could go shopping now because she was early for her appointment. So Mary and I went over and we bought groceries and diapers. So the point of that is, I'm only telling you not because that's, isn't that wonderful? The point of it is, it built up trust with two women that were standing outside. We stopped her at the door and to show her, like, it's one thing to say to somebody, I can help you. You know, people always say, tell me what you can do to, if I can help you. But sometimes we just have to do it. I could have said, you know, we could buy diapers, and she probably would have said, no, that's all right. I just said, we're going over next door to Star Market, and we're buying diapers and groceries. And so if you're, whatever you're working in, rather than say to somebody, how can I help, just decided to do something and just do it, whether it's making a cake or a lasagna for something. If somebody next door died and people want you to do it, but they just say, oh, that's okay, no thank you. So we just did it, and we just built up the trust, and we had fun. And frankly, she forgot she had the appointment, so she did not go in that day. And we packed up everything in the car. We took it all over to her house. But still, now that's one good thing. But then you're alone again. But she had a very good friend with her that said, thank you. I didn't want her to have the abortion either. But you kind of just came along. You put icing on the cake. So she did not have the abortion that day. So about 4 days later, of course, I gave her one of Eleanor's hats, Eleanor Bean's hats, and we gave her a baby blanket, you know, for the new baby. And so I called her about 3 days later, and she didn't answer the phone, Father. And I thought, oh, I wonder what happened. After you go back into the world, and everybody says, what, you met women? With what, you didn't go in for your appointment? But 3 days later, I called again, and she answered. And her name is Sally. And I said, oh, good, how are you doing? She said, oh, fine, I just came back from the doctor's. I said, are you taking your vitamins? She said, yes, they gave me some vitamins. Hold me over, I have to go pick some up. So, Father, it was a beautiful case of just getting her mind off of her troubles, trying to zero in on something good that was happening. And we built up trust, and I told her it's not over. She's going to get sick of looking at Mary and me, and we're just going to keep providing hope and help and love. I said, we will surround you with all good things. The Lord will honor this birth. It will be a special birth, and He will honor it. But you do need practical help. It's one thing to say, we'll pray for you, but you have to have prayer in action. So that was one thing, Father, that happened, I guess, maybe about 3 or 4 weeks ago.
But you see, if you weren't there, she would have gone in.
That's true.
If you weren't there, she would have gone in. That's the whole thing. That just being there and then offering something to them, that clinches it. But if you weren't there, she would have gone in. That's an important thing, that people are outside the abortion mill praying and being silent, but praying, and not making lots of noise, but praying. And when you're there, you can do something. You can do something just because you're there. Then you can go to Shaw's across the street or whatever it's called and buy something and get her something. You see, but you got to be there. And Eleanor, you've been there since 2000, every Tuesday and Wednesday for the most part, mm-hmm. since the year 2000. And people say, you know, look at what Eleanor is doing. Well, you can do the same thing. You can do the same thing if you have that commitment. If you have that commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ and to the poor, because these women that are going in are poor and they need support. They need support.
Right. I will clarify that a little bit. Yes, they are poor, Father. But the general grouping of people that we see, they're there for the abortion, not because they're poor. They're there because of convenience. I just got my job. I want to finish school. I want to go to the senior prom. And I'll have my baby next year. I had a couple there newly married, and we didn't want to get pregnant this year. We want to get pregnant next year. So I talked to them about, you know, God has a plan for you this year. So, of course, everybody needs money these days. Everybody's struggling. So money is a part of it, and we do provide all kinds of help, financial, and we help with housing and groceries and showers and everything. But generally, it's for convenience, which is not good. So we try to work with that and tell them God has a plan for them. Now they can finish school. You know, when you have a baby, it's not the end of the world. You do have a little detour. You might have to skip 6 months of school, but you can go to the senior prom. We have one young lady now that has a beautiful little boy, a brand new little boy, and she's a senior in high school. And guess what? Next week, she's going to the senior prom. And her mother and her aunt are going to watch this gorgeous little boy. So, but here's another thing that happened about 3 months ago, maybe 8 weeks ago. And it was a Muslim couple, a beautiful Muslim couple, and all dressed like Muslim women do. She was dressed in white and she was gorgeous. And she was going in for an abortion. And she had three children. in the car. One was named Mary, one was named Joseph, and one was named John, if you can believe this. Now, I'm not going to have a happy ending, but I'm going to tell you what happened, and then you can all figure out, was it a happy ending? I kind of think it might have been. So I spoke with her 15 minutes. I spoke with her husband. Lovely people, lovely people. And, you know, whatever I said, you know, trying my best. And we got into, when does the soul, she said, she believes in Allah. So she said, Allah said, the soul does not come into the fetus until 8 weeks. And I'm 7 weeks. So I said, well, we believe that the soul comes into the embryo, the very stage of a new human being, at the moment of conception. There's life. The DNA is formed at the moment of conception. I even went to 3 weeks. The baby's heart is beating, so certainly the soul is there now. But I go from the moment of conception. So here's what happened. She said, no, thank you. No, thank you. No, thank you. They both said no, thank you. Anyway, she did go in, Father, and she came out about 2 hours later, which would have given her enough time. Her husband waited in the car. And when she came out, she was all smiles because I said to Mary, I think, you know, we're going to have to be holding her because she's going to be sobbing because she does believe in Allah. And she said, Allah won't like this, but the soul isn't there yet. So I said, I know she's going to be crying, but she came out and she was all smiles. And I said, you had the abortion? And she kind of shook her head, yes. But she's all smiles and happy. And she said to me, Eleanor, I will never forget you. And then she got in her car. So I said, Mary, isn't that strange? And I'm thinking, Father, that she didn't have the abortion, but she didn't. She was coming out. Then she got in the car and maybe didn't want to tell her husband right away because it just didn't make sense. She was very happy. And I've never seen that in 14 years. And then why she would say, so we think she changed her mind. But of course, we're optimists and the Lord's in charge. So I really don't know what happened on that. But I never saw somebody so happy and thankful. But she did not give me the impression that she, you know, it looked like she had gone ahead. So I'm not sure what happened, but we did the best we could.
Eleanor, I will not forget you ever.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that baby is in her womb.
Mm.
You know, why would she say that? We know that when women come out, they are in dire straits. They're crying. They can barely walk. They're sobbing. You know, they're sorry. As I said, you know, the devil tells you it's the easy way out. And then after you do it, he tells you you killed your child.
Mm-hmm.
That's just the way it happens. So let's get back to what's happening tonight at Harvard. There are opportunities for us to do something wonderful. Let me tell you, they take the Eucharist from a Catholic church, not from any other church. Why? Because they know, the devil knows, that the Eucharist is the body and blood, soul and divinity of Jesus Christ. If the people don't know, I'm telling you, the devil knows. So that's why they're going to desecrate the Lord, because he is truly present under the form of bread. And that's why they're going to desecrate the Lord. But I'm telling you, we need to act in another way. We need to pray. We need to do something. Is this whole thing about doing something? You know, if Eleanor wasn't there so many times and other people, Mary wasn't there, I tell you, they would have all walked in and had their child aborted. But you see, because people are there and people extend help, not pie in the sky help, but help, let's go across the street and buy groceries. Let's go across the street and buy other things, Pampers, what the child needs. You see, that clinches it because people know that we really care about them. We're not only caring about the baby in the womb, we're caring about the woman. We're caring about her. It's all about the woman. And you see, you've got to be pro-woman That's what it's about. Tell us another story, Eleanor.
Well, there's many stories, Father, that aren't quite as dramatic. I'm giving you the ones that are a little bit more, shall we say, dramatic. But we've had several, and you know, other people too. You know, there other people go out on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, and women have changed their mind on those dates. I'm not there, but we have other good, excellent, gentle counselors. But we've had people just come out and they say, we couldn't do it, or we changed our mind, or thank you for being there, and they have the brochure. So many of the ones that are saved, it's we don't have a story other than we changed our mind.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. God bless you.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.